Well, good morning and welcome. We're here at Grace Life Church in Jimison, Alabama. Glad that you're here this morning, those of you who are here, and those of you who are joining us by whichever way that you're doing that. We are thrilled that we have an opportunity. You know, years ago, you didn't have that opportunity, unless you could do TV, unless you had that kind of finances to actually do something that you record and put on TV. Who would have thought you could have a camera and this, that, and a few things and go around the world? So thank God for that. Amen. We're going to start a new series today, and we're going to go just a little way in it. And the series is going to be Walking in Authority and Dominion series. And I don't know how many services that we'll have or how many teachings that we'll have in that series. But today's we're going to call this Living in Dominion Every Day. Now, we're going to start out, and I'm going to warn you this morning, we're going to start out wide open. Not that I'm going fast, but if you can get blown out, you will be blown out this morning. So I'm trying to trim the church back if I can. So if you can be blown out. Now, don't ever take anything I or any minister says, say, well, he said this has got to be that way. If there's not scripture for it, then it needs to be discussed. Is that true? But if it is, and we're not there, then we need to elevate. And so we're going to start off in John 3 this morning, if you want to go there. And we're not in a hurry, but we're this wasn't my message. I sat down from Thursday till last night and wrote 3 to 4 what we would call Sunday's worth of sermons. And I thought this morning was nailed down. And I told her I had put something on notes, and I went there and something's wrong with my phone and my iPad. It won't print off either one of them, so I have to get in touch with my technologists. And so I sent it to Michelle. And she could print off, but mine won't print it. So then I went out to the office. I said, well, I was going to go out there and just highlight this and highlight that off my notes. And I went out there just to highlight it. And all of a sudden, I began to hear things. And I came in last night after 10:30, went to bed at 1 o'clock this morning. And I wrote 11 pages of notes. And I thought, why am I doing this? I already have Sunday nailed down. So I'm not going to do the nail down. I'm going to do the one that's not nailed yet. Y'all ready for that? Okay, so we're going to live in dominion every day. John 3, and we're going to start with verse 31, talking about Jesus. It says, he that cometh from above, he is above what? I'll let y'all get there. John 3, 31. Thank you. He that cometh from above, who comes from above? Jesus. He is above what? And he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above. That's important. Mm-hmm. Now watch here. In what he has seen and heard, he that testifieth, and no man receives his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. Mm-hmm. I'm restraining myself. I'm just saying all kinds of stuff. The footnote of your Bible may be like mine says Romans 3:4, which says, let God be true and every man be a what? A liar. So, verse 34, let's just go on. I can't get stopped or I'll never get off. For he whom God sent speaks the words of God. For God give not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loves the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Verse 36, last one. He that believeth on the Son, would that be you? Mm-hmm. He hath everlasting life, or Zoe. And he that believeth not the Son hath not seen this life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Mm. Mm. So, notice the verse 31st said that he that cometh from above, he's above all. He that said the earth is earthy and speaketh of the earth, he that cometh from heaven is above all. And because that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, the scripture says, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, if you're seated with Christ in heavenly places and he's above all, guess what? You are above what? Now, either elevate or cut the cord on the kite and say, I'm staying here. Above all, that means you would be above failure, sickness and disease, poverty, lack, barrenness, rejection, you name it. You are above all, which means you're not losing. See, it's time to start losing. We may do like President Trump and say, you're going to win so much. You want to say, quit. I'm tired of winning so much. You are a winner. No more losing in life. Today forward, you start winning. Glad y'all are happy. Why? Because you are a new creation. You are a believer in Christ, which means you're a new species of being, one translation said. You are part of the new creation nation. That's the last time I'll give Pastor Buzz credit for that statement. You are part of the new creation nation, he said. That's because you are a carrier of God's nature. You are God's son, produced after his kind. So that means he's created you in his class. Whose class? His class. You are a God on this earth. I got that from the first church downtown. Yeah, I was preaching that in some popular series down there at the downtown, the first church. He said, what did you say? I said, you are God on this earth. Little G. Now, if you think you're a big G on the earth, just ask your wife because she'll straighten that out. She knows that you're not God, all right? Now, you do know me well enough to know that I'm not going to come out and just say stuff. I hope you know that. Psalms 82:6. I want you to get there. Jesus quoted this, and we'll look at when Jesus quoted this verse later on, but I want you to see where Jesus got it from. Psalms 82:6. Y'all let me know when you get there. You are the new creation nation. You're the believer in Christ. You're a new species of being. You're God's son, produced after his kind, made in his image, made in his likeness. He is God. You've been made in his image and his likeness, his similitude. You've been made in the God nature. You have his nature abiding in you, right? Just natural people, when they have kids, a lot of times they say, boy, he looks just like his daddy, or she looks like her mother. Well, there's DNA, there's traits like that, sometimes you can, it's really strong. Twins and such as that. We don't think nothing about saying, boy, he looks just like his daddy. She looks just like her mama. We think, that's right, isn't that wonderful? Now, I know that's kind of a strong statement, but I didn't get it out of Reader's Digest. You say, what do you mean? The statement I just said a while ago. That you are a God here on earth. You get there? Psalms 82:6 says, he said, I have said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. We could go into the Hebrew and try to break it down, but somebody already broke it down. I mean, well, it doesn't need much explanation. I have said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Well, if you're a child of God, and you're a God, little g, on the earth. You're a born winner by the virtue of the new birth. You are an inseparable covenant with God today, aren't you? Amen. Yeah. God, your Father, has destined your life to win. There is no limit to what God will do to give you victory over Satan. These are just things... I told you through the years, wasn't like this for many years in ministry for me, but kind of is for several years. I, the way, not always, but most of the time now, the way things come to me is I can hear the Holy Spirit preaching to me. Didn't used to come that way at all. I mean, I was listening to him, but I'm just saying, but it's like I hear a sermon and then he gives me time to write it down. Then I go check the scriptures to make sure he's scriptural. Well, he is scriptural. I have to make sure my hearing's not woo, right? But so I'm just reading my notes that I wrote down in the outside office at 10 o'clock last night. There is no battle or fight with Satan and his demons that you are not already destined to win. Okay? God is committed to your success. You are his son. You are his seed. The scripture says you are the offspring of God himself through Christ Jesus. God is against anything that is against you. There is a touch not decree on you. They should have never messed with Moses. And I'm hearing that, I'm thinking, oh boy, where's this going? I'm writing notes, I said, oh boy, where's this going? They should have never messed with Moses. They should have backed off at least at the Red Sea. Next point. God will not tolerate your being messed with. Psalms 106, 9 through 11 says, he rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Now listen to this. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. God is committed to your success. Next point. Those who attempt evil against Moses, even in the camp of Israel, paid for it also. Zechariah 2:8-9 says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you touches the apple of his eye. Verse 9, for behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their service, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Next point. You're born of God, so nobody can take advantage of you and go free. Say it one more time. You're born of God, so nobody will take advantage of you and go free or without costing them. I don't preach stuff like this very often. You're born of God, and when you obey him, you are permitted to fail or lose, or not permitted. When you obey God, you do what he says. You obey him. At that point, you have a free will. You could, but when you're obeying him, walking in his truth and in his life, you are not permitted any longer to fail or lose. Because the mighty Holy Spirit lives in you, and the Holy Spirit is greater than any battle that you're facing this morning. Mm-hmm. You know what battle you're facing this morning? You say, well, could we make it plural? They usually are plural. Until you get to heaven, then you won't have none of this stuff no more. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But he's greater than any battle that you're facing today. How would you like to tangle up with the anointing and be on the wrong side? Because the anointing removes the burden and destroys yokes. So you can stand in the face of any challenge or assault of the devil and say to him, Satan, get lost. Listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to you today, and he will witness to your spirit truth. Again, Psalms 82:6 says, I have said you are God's, and all of you are children of the Most High. That is the dominion scripture. We're talking about authority and dominion. get it inside you this morning, that verse. There's an anointing upon the revelation of that scripture that will establish you in permanent authority over Satan in all endeavors, which means you are going to be in complete charge over the affairs of your life. Amen. You are God's. Is the basis for the supernatural. You're no longer just human, but you're superhuman. Don't see yourself as an ordinary human being. The truth is that you are a son of God. See, all of you would say that, right? Listen to this, see if you can hear it this way. The son of a donkey is a what? The son of man is a man. Therefore, the son of God can't be anything else but a... The law of creation is everything produces after its own kind. That does not exempt God from that, right? Because you're made in His image and likeness. So you are God. Jesus re-echoed that statement in the New Testament, affirming its authenticity. Go to John chapter 10, and I don't know which translation is the best, but for the sake of the hour last night, I didn't have time to go into a bunch of translations, but I looked at three or four, and I like the Passion the best. But we're going to read John 10, 32 through 38, or if you want to just listen to the Passion, it might answer some questions that swirl around in your head. Or if you're thinking about writing me out of the sermon, I can understand. Go ahead and write. Amen. We welcome your mail. Amen. But have something worthy to say. We're not talking about pride. Actually, I'm talking about humility. Pride is you have to change, or humility is you have to humble yourself and believe this word of God against everything that's going on in your mind, your imagination, because it sounds to you, whatever. And then you have to say, well, I've failed so many times. I just can't say I'm the righteous of God. You can't, because you're full of pride. But the humble man would accept what Jesus did for him, and he would say what God said about him. I'm only saying what God said about you. So Jesus got into a little mess over the statement himself. And this is where Jesus got in mess over this thing right now. Okay? Y'all ready? Verse 32, Passion. But Jesus said, "My Father has empowered me to work miracles and acts and mercy among you. So which one of them do you want to stone me for?" The Jewish leaders responded, "We're not stoning you for anything good you did. It's because of your blasphemy. You're just a son of Adam, but you claim to be God." She said, "I'm so sorry. What was I thinking?" No, I didn't say that. That'd be the reverse translation, that last part. Verse 34. They said, "You're just a son of Adam, but you're claiming to be the son of God." Jesus answered, "Isn't it written in your scriptures that God said you are God? The scriptures can't be denied or found to be an error." See, Jesus talks back. "So if those who have the message are said to be gods, then why would you accuse me of blasphemy?" Verse 36, "For I have been uniquely chosen by God, and He is the one who sent me to you. How then could it be blasphemy to say I am the Son of God?" Let me read that again. "For I've been uniquely chosen by God." Any here been chosen by God? Anyone here got a call of God on your life? "And He is the one who sent me." Aren't you sent to go into all the world? "Then how could it be blasphemy to say that I'm the Son of God?" So verse 37, verse 38, he said, "If I'm not doing the beautiful works that my Father sent me to do, then don't believe me." Last verse, 38, "But if you see me doing the beautiful works of God upon the earth, then you should at least believe the evidence of miracles, even if you don't believe my words. Then you would come to experience me and be convinced that I'm in my Father and the Father is in me." Mm. He said, isn't it written in your law? How like it says, isn't it written in your law that you are God's little g? And he's like, wait. And he said, yeah, I mean, scribes, Pharisees, doctors of the law, you really smart people with all your garb on and your professional whatever. And you got your little, doesn't your law say that you are God? Well, let's nail it down a little bit tighter than that. You want to? We ends up last night. Some things moved around. I woke up this morning and turned on the camera, and one of the vases out there, flowers had blown all the way out of one of them. I said, you know where you're taking them flowers out, Priscilla? I said, you don't have to. It took it out for you. I said, you'll probably find them on the sidewalk somewhere. So let's make sure everything's nailed down. So what others may call blasphemy, Jesus calls scriptures. Oh. You want another one? Acts 3:22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. So he said, Moses was raised up from among the brother. He said, but he's like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatever he says. Whatever he says to you, hear what he has to say. I raised him up among you. I called him out from among you. He was one of your brethren, but he's like unto me. So when the Lord sent Moses to Pharaoh, he did not send him as a mere man, did he? But don't take my word for it. See if this helps you. Exodus 7:1. And the Lord said to Moses, see, I've made thee a god to Pharaoh. Made the little g. He said, I'm sending you there to do a job, and you're going to need some help. You're going to need some God help. So I'm sending you as a god. Not a runaway slave. You like this, don't you, brother? He likes to eat good. Jesus came and he was God unto the world. Was he not? So let's hear what Jesus said to his disciples, which includes every son of God today. In John 20:21, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, as he sent me, so I will send you. Well, how did he send him? Son of man, anointed by the Holy Ghost, fully God, fully man, but anointed of the Holy Ghost, and he was sent forth in glory. Now, if we connect the above scriptures we just read, then you understand that you and I are in the form of man and woman, just like Jesus was, but you're more than that. We ministered, two or three services, kind of getting up to this place. I had no idea that this is where I was coming to, but we were talking about Jesus was fully man and right, and he did, but did he do the works of miracles by as being a son of God or the son of man? And we know that he did him as a son of man. So if he walked on water, if he multiplied the fish and the loaves, whatever he did as a man anointed the Holy Ghost. That's what we're capable of in those situations. Okay, so now here we are. He was fully God, he was fully man. He said, I have sent you, I've sent Moses. Not as Moses, not as the former would have been Pharaoh of Egypt, but I'm sending because Egypt has all kind of gods. They worship them. They build them, think about it. How dumb can a person be who builds something and then worship what they build? That'd be like Nathan over here just taking just a car that's been totaled out. They says, we ain't fixing that. But he likes the car. And he knows it ain't worth doing, but he likes that car. It's a SS Chevelle. I mean, and I'm going to go help him if he let me drive it sometime. He finally gets all the parts. He may have more money than it's ever worth. Who knows? It will have a rebuilt title and everything else. And so he does all this work inside out. I mean, he does everything. Upholstery, everything. I mean, it is ready for the showroom, take it around the world, show it off. Then he pulls it in his shop, and everybody leaves, he bows down and worships that car. That ain't happening, is it? So that's the scripture says, so you carved out the idols and then you bowed down and worship. Well, yeah, you're an idiot. Right? So Egypt had a lot of gods, so he sent him as God, as a God to them. See, their gods never answered. Moses, he did. He came with power. So the day that you gave your life to Jesus, something strange happened to your makeup. The day that day you received another life. Whereas you had spiritual death, now you have eternal life. So you now operate, the God order of life within you in the form of the ordinary structure, which is your body. That's the ordinary part. And now the way that Moses was sent unto Pharaoh is the way that we see how Moses went and he handled Pharaoh is now the way that you handle Satan. It wasn't Moses that got Israel out of Pharaoh's hand. It was the greater one in him, right? We're not confused about that. We know who does the works. It's not us, but is he in us? Because you've been infused and injected with the eternal life. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, you have this treasure in an earthen vessel. If we don't have an understanding of the truth that you are God's, then you will not be able to put situations in the earth under control. Because they are under your control. If you don't have the Holy Spirit working in you and the earth is out of control, God's not going to come fix it because he delegated that to man. I'm not talking about your garage needs fixing. I'm not talking about you need to we got to go out there and fix the garage. It's a mess. And we're going to take some things off and we're going to redo the shelves. I'm talking about changing nations. I'm talking about changing cities. Mm-hmm. One person at a time, one family at a time. What are we doing? We're elevated in our thinking. So you think, well, I'm Lucy and Fred, boy. Well, that Lucy and Fred might have been, or Ricky and whatever. Well, they were together a lot. Who knows? So anyway. You might be you're the natural son or daughter of someone, right? But you've been born again. You've been refathered. Acts says you are the offspring of God Himself. What would that do to your thinking if you actually ever believe that? You say, well, that's hard to believe. No, it's not. You're already believing something. See, the difference is you're just believing something different. You're still believing. You're just believing something different. You say, well, you want me to believe something like this? No, you don't have to believe nothing. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. But you're already believing something. It's not that you're not neutral. You're not like, well, I'm just a neutral. I just don't believe. I'm just zoning. No, you're believing something. What you're believing is your senses. Because they're touching your life. You can feel them. You can smell them. They're all around you. There's times that they bless you. When you have chocolate cake, you're like, I'm or whatever that you like. You're like, I'm glad I got senses. I got the smell and the touch and taste, all that working. But then they work against you. Your emotions work against you. Mm-hmm. People come against you. Situations come against you. Financial pressure comes against you. And then you start figuring. There's nothing in there that says go figure. It really isn't. It said Jesus went up into the mountains away from the people to go figure. But we do. Why? He didn't do any of that. He went to go figure things out. He got on Twitter and Instagram. He could express himself. Got on Facebook and lifted his face up. He was seeking friends. So, if you approach spiritual battles as a human being, you're bound to fail. Because the Bible says the flesh profits nothing and the spirit that quickeneth. In other words, your flesh, your mental capacity, your emotions, you dealing with situations in the flesh, it frustrates the grace of God. Galatians 2, 20, 21. It frustrates the grace of God. You fall from grace. I don't mean you lose your salvation. You fall from God's might and ability, and you fall back into the old man, into the first Adam, and you come under his subjection and under his dominion in your life when you've already been set free. Because you give in to his tactics. You have to know how he works. He's very subtle. He doesn't even want you to know he's around. He'd rather you think he don't even exist. While he's eating your lunch, you think he's nowhere around. So it's the flesh that profits nothing. Nothing. But the spirit quickeneth. By strength shall no man prevail, the scripture said. Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. It's not man's strength, or it's not our height or ability. It's not your physical muscles, but the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Now, let me read Psalms 82 around more verses with it. Okay, I wanted to say some things, then I'll go back and I'm going to read the Psalms 82, 5, 6, and 7. It says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth is on course. I have said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princesses. In other words, this is who you're called to be. They were supposed to be making, they were supposed to stand in their assignment. They were supposed to make judgments and rules. They were supposed to take their assignment faithfully because God had given, he had given them the authority to do certain things. And he says, I told you on earth in your assignment, you are little g gods, but you're doing nothing I'm asking you to. He says, so you should die just like anybody else, just like princes. In other words, not just die, but your life is going to be run just like everybody else. When I made you a god. Well, think about it this way. In this new administration, there's people been chosen to be ambassadors to all different kinds of nations. Who do they speak for? Who's our new Secretary of State? Marco. So when he sent, and he was sent here recently, right? Mm-hmm. Who did he speak for? Was it just now as Senator of Florida? No. He's no longer the Senator of Florida. He's the Secretary of State. So when he says something, he is speaking as if Donald Trump is in the room. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so when we say things from the Word of God and we represent Him, we're saying it as if He's in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So why is this so hard? When you say what He says from the Word of God, isn't that, if I'm repeating what He says from Scripture, isn't that God talk?
Yes.
That's why He just says, well, I've sent you as an ambassador to reconcile the world, speak my word. I have God talk. Mm. Yeah. So as an ambassador, you are a little g on the earth as if I'm there speaking it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we understand all that. Power of attorney, right? I think Wednesday when I go to sign papers for this property, the husband won't be there. He's working out of town. But he'd get power of attorney to someone who can. It's totally legal. He won't be there. He'll be selling his property and be getting a check and won't even be there. But the one who's going to sign for him is the same thing as if he's sitting right there. It's just when you hear things, it's like, good morning, you're God's. You're like, whoa, little G, all right? We only got a few minutes. What time is it? Is that right? Yeah, 11:30. I'm actually through. Y'all want to be through? We can be through right now. Well, I got 80 more pages, but let's go 10 minutes and stop. So walking in dominion authority, this is what I thought I was going to preach. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. We won't read all that right now, but I'm just going to say part of it. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness and let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. So that means you were created for dominion, right? Created for dominion. Psalms 8:6 says, you have made him, man, to mankind, to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. Imagine a lion, you know, like walking through a jungle and asking permission for a zebra to know who it is. And that's the problem is many Christians, they liken themselves more to scared mice than a roaring lion when God created you to reign and not retreat. So we need to stop living, you know, beneath our privileges because you're not a beggar. You're a ruler in God's kingdom. Next point, dominion comes through the renewed mind. It's already true in the spirit, but it has to be understood through the renewed mind. Amen. Very familiar verse, Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I always wished it would have said removal. If there was a way to remove it, just put another one in there, wouldn't it be cool? Like taking a light bulb out, blown, put in a new one. Someone gets born again, so man, your spirit is just like God, but it's your head. It's okay, then screw the head off and say, you want the head to look like this, or we got another model? Screw it back up. Well, it didn't work that well. If you take a pauper and put him in a palace, but he still thinks like a pauper, then he'll still live like one even if you put him in the palace. True story, you probably heard this before. True story, though. A man once won a cruise ticket. Very poor man, but he won a cruise for a month, but he didn't realize the meals were included. So he lived on crackers and peanut butter on the whole trip. And he was walking there, looking in the dining rooms, people was eating his wonderful meals, and he did that for a whole month, but he knew he didn't have any money to do that, so he went back to his room and he enjoyed the trip and the scenery, but he just ate his crackers because he did not know the meals were included. What is it that we're snacking on that we might have forgot it's included in the package? I mean, don't sit down to, you know, veeny weeny beans and a little, what do you call them, in the can? Yeah, a little viner. Yeah, don't. I mean, if you like them, go for it. But don't give up a steak. Amen. Renew your mind with the word. If you don't, because if you don't, you can't walk in dominion. You can't walk in dominion with a defeated mindset. You cannot do it. You just can't do it. Next point. Speak with authority because your words have power. Death and life is in the what? Power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. You ever seen a small dog bark at a big dog? Like, let me at him? Of course, if there's a fence between them, they're emboldened, you know, or they're looking out the glass. Kind of dog like I say wee bit more like Michelle has. Not this one so much. It's been so domesticated, it's pitiful. She was waiting, I don't know why, but she was waiting for me to get out of my chair more so she could take it over. She's trying to jump in and up while I was there because, like, she said, shouldn't you already be at church? Like, I mean, it's like, you got a couch, you got all the chairs. Why do you want my? But she does. And she goes, she always take a blanket and cover up before I leave. And Michelle has her watching Hallmark. It's pitiful. It's pitiful. Hallmark is sitting in my chair. Yeah, it's not a dog. A dog is that. But Dachshunds, they'll bark at a Great Dane. You know, not this one. The one we got one. She probably run. But they will. They'll tie into it. We used to have one when we lived in Thorpe. I had no idea what to do it, but she was an inside dog because I was having my way then. But she caught the little, what do you call the little squirrels? Chipmunk squirrel. Yeah. Man, them things move fast, but that dog, she'd catch them and then she'd kill them and she'd put them on the doorstep. Or she'd catch a mouse, she's letting you know she's doing her job. But every time we would come home from anywhere, all the kids was real young. We was coming in the minivan. My wife had a bunch of kids, and so we're going in. But she would be running across the yard when she saw we was coming every time. And I said, why is she doing that? She said, she's just telling you she's doing her job. I said, oh, okay, that makes sense. She did it all the time. When we got ready to leave, she'd run across the yard. We'd come home, she'd run across the yard. And then one day, what was her name? Ginger. Man, she was something. Well, we lived in a cul-de-sac in Thorpe, and I didn't know two houses down that they had a Dachshund, but it was a long hair, and it always stayed close to the house. And so one day I said, Ginger, get him. Well, there was nothing. We were just outside, and there was no cars. You know, there was no people outside. But she knew that there was a Dachshund over there. I guess she went over and they talked to him now and then. And I said, Ginger, get him. And man, she took off from our yard and she went three houses down and I didn't know where she was going. I was like, Ginger. But all I did was, Ginger, get him. She took off, ran down our driveway, two, three houses down, and behind that house, and I could hear, Ar-ar-ar-ar. And man, I talk about that neighbor comes off, she tore that Dachshund to pieces. She had to go find something to get. And I think we paid the vet bill for all that. I didn't do that no more. See, a Christian can't be like, devil, leave me alone. Stop. I'm not being a nurse. Got my toy. Gee, gosh. Christian nets, and then we got some husband nets. You ever seen a husband net? It's pitiful. You're not even quite a man yet. Bless that wife's heart. Married to a husband net. Amen. That's another Pastor Buzzy term. Husband net. We was in a meet one time. A guy over, and he was kind of like, And Pastor Buzzy, he told me, he said, did you see that husband? And I said, what? He said, husband net. He said, I bet she's sorry to have to take him home. So that little dog, you know, his bark acts like he's bigger than the other dog. That's how we're supposed to operate, right? In authority, right? Next point. Dominion requires obedience in alignment with God. Even in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 28:1-2 says, if you will diligently obey the Lord, he will set you above all nations on the earth. Think about a police officer, right? He has authority when he operates under the law, doesn't he? And if he tries to direct traffic in plain clothes, no one pays attention to him. But he wears his badge in his uniform, cars stop. What's the difference? Is it apparel. Not the apparel, but it's what the apparel represents, right? Because he's aligned with the authority to exercise the power. When you dress up in Christ and you get on your heavenly wardrobe, the devil takes notice. And when you say, you're not coming here, he understands. You got to know how to dress up in the heavenly clothes. A lot of Christians need to change their wardrobe. Walking in dominion means submitting to God's authority, and obedience will bring the power. So use your God-given weapons, which is spiritual warfare. You know the verse in Ephesians 6:10, it says in 11, it says, put on the armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I mean, imagine a soldier going to war in his pajamas. It'd be an easy target, wouldn't it? too many believers go to battle in their pajamas instead of prayer and the word and faith. If you're not fighting for your dominion, the enemy will gladly take it from you. I said this before, if you know this, if you're going to straddle the fence, know this, you got to know this, the devil owns the fence. So put on your armor daily. Next point, walking in dominion by faith and not fear, for God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. You got to step out in faith. It's not based on how you feel. It's based on what God says. Usually you won't feel anything like that. You'll actually feel the opposite many times. I've done things in fear. And so God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but I had all the emotions of fear. Or I had a situation coming up, or I had problems coming up, and it looked like there wasn't changing. I still had all the emotions of, and all the things, says nothing's changing, nothing's working, this is not changing, this is not working. See, then there would be natural things that would support it's not working, and all the fear coming, what are we going to do? And I'm, stop. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean into your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Wow. See, isn't that simple? Trust in the Lord. We're gonna the second song we did this morning, we're gonna do that in just a minute because it talks about trusting in the Lord. So I'm gonna show you the live version where they actually sing it. I'm almost through. Then I got this third sermon, the one I thought I was gonna do on Thursday. You were made to walk in dominion and authority, so recognize that you were created for dominion. Renew your mind to the truth. Speak with authority. We're just recapping. Speak with authority. Stay aligned with God's will and use your spiritual weapons. Walk in faith and not fear. You were created for dominion. Just start in Genesis 1. It's the dominion mandate. Amen. So we're going to do something with our authority and our dominion. Let's go ahead and receive the offering this morning. We can sell them out if y'all want to. Love y'all. Talk to you next service.